You're listening to the RSA Conference podcast, where the world talks security.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this edition of our RSAC 365 podcast series. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Tatiana Sanchez.
And I'm Casey Zirkus.
And we are your RSA Conference podcast hosts.
Today, we are focusing on small businesses and discussing the overlooked necessities needed to start or sustain a small cyber business. And that is why we're excited to be joined by our guests, Tiffany Bryant, Jordan Short, and Nick Gibson, to unravel what might be the unmet needs of small businesses.
But before we get started, I want to remind our listeners that here at RSAC, we host podcasts twice a month, and I encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review us on your preferred podcast app so that you can be notified when new tracks are posted. And now I would like to ask my guests to take a quick minute to introduce themselves before we dive into today's discussion. Tiffany, let's start with you.
Absolutely. So I'm an information security analyst and a member of an incident response team. And we're charged with responding to cyber incidents that threaten confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the devices and their network. Large part of my day involves a lot of collaboration between various teams to help move the incident handling process from detection to a point of resolution for things like suspicious downloads, unauthorized access, disclosure of information, denial of service, and other threats to our environment.
All right, and Jordan?
My name is Jordan, aka Jay. I work as a consulting architect at a data observability company. My role is to help customers leverage our software to meet their data observability requirements. I don't exclusively work in a cybersecurity role now, but we do deal with a lot of cybersecurity use cases. And I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. And last but not least, Nick.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nick Gibson. I'm the CEO and founder of Gibson Cyber. We do cybersecurity for small businesses. I bring the big names all the way down to the small businesses to help them, because just like what we're talking about here today, small businesses need cybersecurity just as much as big businesses do.
Great. Thank you. Excited to have you all on today. So Jordan and Tiffany, can you explain more about the podcast that you both do for our listeners?
Yeah, starting the podcast was something Jordan and I had talked about many times because both of us enjoy helping others where we can. And something people often do when they hear what we do for work is ask questions about what they can do to get into our fields. Between the two of us, we could reach two or three people by email or text, and we could give them resources that we knew intimately as two people. But creating the podcast meant we could not only help more people, but we could look internally to the community for more insight than our two minds alone could give. And then the bonus, we also get to learn alongside the people that we also wanted to help.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things is people who are coming into the industry, like they see successful leaders and they get a little bit intimidated. So we kind of wanted to create a space that was super chill. We're talking to leaders in the industry, but we're humanizing them. So yeah, these people are mad successful, but they had lives before their success. And I mean, we're all just faffoing. So that was essentially the reason we started a podcast, was to chill and talk and learn.
I love that so much. And you definitely are chill. So Jordan and Tiffany, you both have had Nick on as a guest of your podcast, which is kind of what brought us here today, because that conversation was so powerful for you as the host of the podcast that you wanted to amplify the message for the community. So we are excited to have the three of you here. And Nick, I'm wondering if you could talk maybe a little bit about your story of transitioning into starting your own cyber business, and what were some of the things that you think might be helpful to our listeners who may be thinking along the same lines of wanting to start their own business. I know you kind of maybe stumbled upon some unexpected things that you shared with Jordan and Tiffany, and maybe you can share some of that for our listeners as well.
Yes, for sure. A little bit of background on myself, a little bit more background, I guess. I've been in cyber for 10 years, and most of the time I've spent doing digital forensics, incident response. And just in the course of my career, prior to COVID, we would get calls, from small businesses saying, "Hey, I'm hacked. Can you help us out?" We'd have to say, usually know, because I'm working for a Fortune 100 company, right? You don't really make enough money for us to help you, or you're too small for us to help you. We need to help you find something else. So I kept getting those calls. And after COVID, it started to increase tenfold. More and more businesses that got pushed online started to get, they're now vulnerable to everything that online has to offer, and they've been getting exploited a lot more. So I started my business because there are very few businesses out there that do the level of digital forensics and incident response and cybersecurity that you need in today's world for small businesses. One of my key takeaways for anyone starting a new business, even if they don't have an idea now, but they want to do it at some time, they just want to be a business owner, is start to lay that groundwork. And I say that in the terms of networking. Networking for me has been this thing where I've had to do a steep learning curve on, because I got into IT to not talk to people. I wanted to sit in the back room and just type on my computer and not really converse with anyone. And that's just not how cybersecurity works today. You need to talk to people. You need to converse with people. And especially if you want to be a business owner, you have to start laying that groundwork beforehand. Like, I didn't realize that building a strong LinkedIn profile and a community on LinkedIn would have been so beneficial to my career now, having built that 3 years ago or so. So all the things and networking that I did to try and get jobs, I've kind of amped that up to finding business. And I think that's the biggest thing that I didn't know about when starting a business, is how much I should have done prior to starting a business, like in networking.
Yeah. After I graduated, I realized how important it is to, you know, network with people on LinkedIn, just to learn and just to have those connections. Networking is definitely really important in general, and especially if you're starting your own business. Jordan and Tiffany, as Casey mentioned, you recently had an interview with Nick related to today's topic, and you both left with wow factors from some of the things that Nick mentioned that most people don't think of. Can you both provide one thing each that stood out to you during your talk with Nick?
Jordan, I'll let you go first.
Oh, that's so generous. I appreciate you. So one of the things that Nick mentioned, that I'm sure a lot of people make the mistake of doing because they don't really think about it, is he told a story about a client who had been storing sensitive data on his computer, right? So the hackers essentially didn't need to really go on this crazy elaborate enumeration mission, right? All they needed was to access the system, and everything they wanted was right there. It was stored locally. So I felt like he shared multiple instances of, wow, I'm sure a lot of people are doing that right now. And so when they heard the episode, I feel like they were like, dang, I'm doing that right at this minute. Like, that could be me. And it was a huge, hey, I should take action. So it just felt very much so like he was talking to the average user.
And Tiffany, what stood out to you?
So what was revealing to me was that Nick encountered multiple scenarios where the small businesses or medium-sized businesses recognized they were breached and then reached out for assistance. And there was really no one there to answer their call, or the people that answered their call turned them away because of their size and maybe even their perceived profitability for those small businesses. For me, I was operating from a mindset that everyone had coverage, because once I started in the industry, there was always a security team that handled suspicious downloads or computer issues. And hearing Nick speak of his experiences helped me realize that there's not only a need for businesses that provide protection for smaller businesses, but there also may be a need for small updates to training and or curriculum that could give these maybe solopreneurs some visibility about how to protect their business from the point of inception, and not them having to learn about where to go for security incidents during their time of crisis. I feel like the last thing a business owner would want to hear when they make the call to say they believe they've been hacked is that they don't make enough money, or they don't have enough clients to be considered valuable enough to receive assistance from an organization.
Right. And it seems so antithetical to the broader message of, you know, we're all interconnected in this cyber world, right? Because you know, that small business is more than likely someone's downline supply chain, right? Or somehow connected to some other major corporation. So the idea of any SMB in need of cyber response assistance, breach response assistance being dismissed for lack of profitability is so outside of the realm of the conversations that we have. Our executive chair, Hugh Thompson, had likened the community to a Jenga puzzle, right? We're each one brick, no matter how large or small the organization. And if one of those bricks is moved in the wrong direction, it can take the whole thing down. And so we have so many conversations around what is our duty to the cyber have-nots and how do we protect nonprofits and smaller organizations. So I would love it if you could all contribute to responding to this next question about what are some real gaps in the cybersecurity marketplace for SMBs that maybe overlooked, and more importantly, what are some of the best resources? It would be even better if they were free resources that folks can use to help them address their overall security strategies.
There's a few gaps I see in the small business market, especially in the under 20 employees market. I'm talking like, you know, local CPAs that have 300 clients. But they don't have $30,000 a month to get real services. But the things are true anti-endpoint security, not antivirus, but endpoint security with user behavior analytics behind it. That's what's going to stop real attacks, not just the Nortons and the Malwarebytes that are great for home use, but not for business use.
Nick, can I ask a clarifying question there? What if you're a small business that's like a local yoga studio or a cute little boutique shop? Are those Norton antivirus protections sufficient for that type of business, or do they still need more?
If you're a business that intakes money in some form or fashion, you are of value to hackers.
Okay.
If they take money on a point of sale system, or they have a Wi-Fi connection, or they just do their banking on a phone somewhere, they need cybersecurity.
Awesome. Nick, did we lose track of your response there by my interrupting you at all?
I just wanted to talk one more service that I see that it is really killer for small businesses. It saves them a lot is DLP, data loss prevention. You use a DLP service for a small CPA or a law firm. And I mean, you're not only preventing ransomware, but you're preventing actual data loss. I mean, the story that Jordan was telling about that person putting all that information on the computer was about a local CPA. That person just had all of the information, is all W-2s for his clients, 300 clients all sitting on his desktop, and was taken. If we had data loss prevention on there, well, endpoint protection plus data loss prevention, we'd be able to see all that sensitive data leaving the environment.
Thanks for that. Tiffany, Jordan, any gaps that you see for SMBs or resources, hopefully free or low cost, that can help our SMB friends in the community?
So I'll go ahead and go first with that. First of all, the expert, I think, kind of covered most of that, but he has a free lunch and learn on YouTube. See, look at that. In terms of actual free resources for small businesses, to be honest, I don't know, right? I almost feel like that alone is a gap, like a curriculum developed for small business owners who really aren't thinking about cybersecurity. Maybe Nick could go ahead and write a blog about it. I don't know. But outside of that, I think Tiffany and Nick both said it. I personally think that, you know, small businesses are under the impression that massive organizations are the only ones that should be worried or tapped into cyber attacks and breaches. But, you know, small businesses, they're usually a little bit more financially cautious. So sometimes that does mean, like Nick mentioned, they're like, oh, hey, antivirus is plenty, especially if they're a solopreneur who's handling everything. So, yeah, like I said, I think Tiffany and Nick already touched on it, and I'm going to go ahead and plug again that Nick should just go ahead and write a blog and create a curriculum for small businesses with free resources.
No, and I do think that it's hugely important because, you know, not for nothing, this country is built on solopreneurs, right? And these mom and pop shops of individuals that, you know, were they to be taken down by a cyber attack, would completely demolish their livelihood. So
exactly.
Write the book, Nick.
I think I might. And I agree. I mean, if you look at it face value as individual businesses, you know, small businesses aren't, it's a drop in the bucket. But if you look at it as a whole, that's 47% of our economy in the United States here.
Right.
So if they're attacking those small businesses and there's very few resources for them, it's fish in a bucket at that point.
Yeah. And I do think, and maybe it's driven more by hope, but I do think the tides are changing and that those larger enterprises are recognizing their duty to protect and take care of those SMBs as well, simply because they are at some point part of their downline system that needs to be protected as well. And it's not always altruistic, but any help is help. So grateful for that.
And just going off free resources, Nick, what are some actionable takeaways you can give to our listeners that we may have missed during this podcast?
For anyone that's in an industry that uses sensitive data or has client information, that they need to look at what their industry's regulations are. For example, like CPAs, there's a lot of new stipulations in the last 4 years that have been coming out for the IRS about how CPAs need to operate. It doesn't matter. It's regardless of size. It's solopreneurs and above. They need to operate this way or face thousands in fines. So I think that a hidden takeaway is that the government is starting to catch up and they're going to start putting fines and stipulations around almost every business that houses sensitive data or has client data in general. So it's kind of going to be like the GDPR in the UK. I could see that happening here in the US. So getting ready for it now as a small business, it gets you ahead of the game.
Well, thank you all for being here today. I know it's really helpful, especially for our listeners who may want to start a small cyber business or already have one. And you just provided more tips and helpful resources for them. So thank you again for being here, Nick, Jordan, and Tiffany. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. To learn more about professional workforce development, we invite you to visit rsaconference.com/marketplace. Here you'll find an array of cybersecurity vendors and service providers who can assist you with your specific needs. Please keep the conversation going on your social channels using #RSAC, and be sure to check back at rsaconference.com for new content posted year-round. Until next time.